And so it begins.
And so it begins.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Gamers First Podcast.
Yeah.
Coming at you a couple days late this week, but all is still well.
We're because right it's on. Easter. There are more important things.
That's right. That's right. I've been, been at church most of the weekend and then and just random stuff going down. But as this gets to you, we'll get you some good gaming news like we always do. As always, I'm Drew, and with me today is Brian.
Hello.
And I forgot last week, but we're doing some of our contact information up front now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did do that last week, didn't we?
Just so you can catch us on in other media, if you will. But so I am only an owner of a PlayStation 3. But my gamer tag is, or PSN ID, I should say.
Yeah.
It's BlazeDDI. Blaze. All one word. Brian is on PS3 and Xbox.
Yeah, that's right.
And, he's at HitmanBK. You can also find us under those same names, BlazeDDI and HitmanBK, on IGN, where we post a lot of our reviews and stuff on our personal blogs there, as well as on our website. At gamersfirstpodcast.wordpress.com, and in that one, Gamers First is spelled out the entire way. And then on Twitter, it's at Gamers1ST, and I'm at TexasDI if you want to find me on there.
Well, then.
We may as well kick it off like we always do, right?
Yeah, we don't have too much. We don't actually have near as much as we usually do for all you peeps out there in the universe, but there wasn't really too much going on this weekend.
There were a couple big things from GDC that we'll hit, but yeah, nothing that we think requires too much depth.
Yeah, nothing that requires too much depth besides what we've been playing since Tuesday. Well, at least I've been playing it since Tuesday.
I've been playing it for the last day and a half. But
BioShock Infinite.
Dum, that's dum, right. Dum. It's out. It's beautiful. We were just talking about it. It's close to next gen. We talked about you were saying you're a little disappointed after seeing some PC screenshots.
I did. I watched the PC stuff. I don't know why I did that. And then I was like, oh, this game's gorgeous. And then I put it in my Xbox. And I was like, oh, this game is not near as gorgeous as I thought it was going to be. But it's still gorgeous.
It's still very good looking. I think it's pushing the limits of
the current software.
Both the current gen consoles. Man, that... So they show some of it, but the stuff that they didn't put videos of that's at the beginning, like literally when you first get to Columbia before the actual city's revealed, that stuff knocked my socks off. Some of that stuff was incredible.
Yeah, it really is a really good looking game, and it feels good. Although the controls were a little different, it took a while to get used to, but the aiming and stuff I had already kind of had a handle on because it's how Halo aims.
Right, it's you got the right stick going because you're controlling all your vigors
right.
with left triggers.
Which so. I like the I think the vigors in this one are good. It's not really anything new, because
just different names, right?
Yeah, it's just the names that have been changed. It's essentially the exact same thing from BioShock, only it's called vigors now, and you charge it with salts.
Yep.
Versus. I like it. I do. I like it. I am. How far am I? I think I'm almost halfway.
Oh really? Wow! You've been getting after it.
Well, not really. You know, it's only a 10-hour game, and
right.
A couple people I work with have already beaten it, and they said the ending's just phenomenal. So I just want to kind of get to the ending, and plus it's the last game. I'm getting through Gamefly, and I want to go ahead and return it because I have Gamefly only for this month. And I'd like to get one more game if I can.
Try to squeeze it out of there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, and I'm trying to decide too. I'd like to probably get, you know, either God of War Ascensions or maybe the new Gears of War. Just something. Just one last, you know, game to play.
Yeah, I mean,
granted,
all reviews like we talked about last time indicate you should go with Gears out of those two. But.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like that. But God of War is a lot of fun. You know, and
I actually have been playing the original God of War.
I love that one.
God of War Saga. So I've been playing through the original. I'm decent chunky, and I'm probably halfway in on that game. And then I bought BioShock, and I'm only maybe 2 hours in. Like I'm just going through some of the first fighting scenes. Got my second vigor. Got that Devil's Kiss.
Yes, the Devil's Kiss. What's the first one you got?
Possession.
Okay. I didn't know if anyone could ever afford the Bucking Bronco at the start of the game for like
$500.
Yeah,
I mean, I had 180, and it's like 375. And
yeah.
180 is a lot. Like, that's I searched everything that I possibly could.
I think I had the same. I think you have to like grind out those games.
Right. Well, I think it's I did. I played to where I won all the prizes in those games and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But what I hear is I'm gonna. I thought I had a sneeze there, everybody. It's all right. but you, if you did the pre-order, like if you buy the season pass, then you get some extra items to start, and it gives you like 500 points or something.
Yeah.
And so then you have enough to start with Bucking Bronco also, as well as the things that it gives you at the very beginning, like from the start.
Yeah. Well, because we're going to have nothing good to say, you know, about this game, I will kick us off with BioShock about what I think sucks.
Okay.
And I really think there's one thing that really, really sucks in this game. And, you know, I always play things on normal or medium, you know, the difficulty right. they put me on. And BioShock Infinite is stupidly easy.
Yeah. So I've heard that it's really – that it gets significantly harder on hard.
Yeah, if you, that, like, if you increase – plus
insanity or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've been playing through it on normal right now, and it is incredibly easy.
I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times I melee.
Turrets.
Yeah.
I'm getting shot up by turrets, and I'm just, like, running right at the turret. Yeah. I get into possession. Like,
yeah.
Only, like, an eighth of my health is gone, even though it hit me, like, 20 times.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with the difficulty. I mean, and I'm not saying I want it to be stupidly hard. You know, I don't want a game that's, you know.
Well, you want to enjoy the story.
Right,
and such a great story that you don't really want it to be interrupted all that often.
But I don't want to be able to literally run around and I melee more people than I do anything else. So I'm like, whatever, it looks cool.
The Skyhook melee is incredible.
But I shouldn't be able to do that, you know? I mean, it's cooler because I've literally worn it out. Like, it's so cool, and halfway through the game, like, I've seen all the animations 100 times because it's so easy, and I'm just like, whatever. And then I've got an armor that, like, if I hit them, usually on the second hit, I do burn damage 300+. They catch on fire, and they, like, melt.
That's ridiculous.
So I'm just running around, and I'm bucking Bronco, like, three people in the air, and I'm like, whoop-a, 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 and they all catch on fire, and I'm like, cool, keep going.
Nice. That's pretty sweet. No, there's some cool stuff like that. And I know there's also a piece of gear that when you melee replenishes your salts.
Actually, I just got one that I did replace with that fire one because, again, as I said, it was so easy to run around and just hit people and catch them on fire that I got a new one now where if I kill somebody, it replenishes my health. Like, it has a chance to do that.
Nice. That's also – that's great. That kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And so the gear seems to be interesting. I'm not at a point where I even have gear equipped yet. But
how far are you in it?
Just right at the very beginning.
Okay.
I mean, I went to the raffle.
Yeah.
Things got crazy.
Did you throw the rock at the?
Yeah.
You threw it?
No. Well, I tried to throw it.
You bad man, Drew.
No, I tried to throw it at the guy.
Okay. I want to know what happens. Like I wanted to do it just to see what would happen. But then
yeah,
I was like,
that's where I was. I was so torn. I was like, man, this is awful. That was not where I thought it was going.
No, I didn't even know that was in the game. And then you know, isn't much of a spoiler. I had to say for most people who haven't played this yet, I wouldn't call this a spoiler. I'm not gonna really tell you what happens, but I'll just say that BioShock Infinite treads the ground of racism.
Yeah, well, they're taking that dystopia thing to unreal lengths. And it's crazy to see, like, you know, obviously this guy has played off of people's religion.
Yeah, he's a radical for sure.
Right, and I mean, so it's 1912 when racism was very much still alive in, you know, the U.S. proper. And,
that's true. I didn't even think about that. Because it's all so high tech. I forget that
It's supposed to be early 1900s. 1912 is the year you get when you start the game,
right?
And so racism was very much alive in the country. But yeah, it's pretty bad. And I mean, that you see how this guy has used kind of like playing on what is like technically termed glory theology, but the like, I can earn my salvation.
Right.
And like, you know, like you see even the lines, like, why would God send his son to die for us if we wouldn't do anything to get our own salvation,
which right.
is not at all what most of Christianity believes right now. And I mean, I'm not going to like sermonize right now, but it's like, it's interesting to see where he takes those things and these ideas that still exist and are kind of taken for granted, but the way that he plays off of people by like, you need to be doing this for your salvation.
Well, you don't have to preach, but I was actually, that's one of the biggest things I was curious to talk to you about, because we have here, for all you who do not know, Drew is going to, what would you call it, seminary school?
Seminary, yep.
And so I really was waiting to talk to you because of, and really, it dies off, I'll tell you that. I mean, it's not as prevalent as it is at the start of that game.
The beginning is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all religion in the beginning, and then it kind of becomes more of like this more political, really, more like political, and then the idea of quantum mechanics really comes into play. It's still there, but it's really heavy in the beginning. And I was curious, you know, from your knowledge, like, how did that feel? Like, where did they pull like some of this stuff from? And like, I mean, I know it's like a radical thing. Obviously, it's. I was just curious. Yeah, I was curious. Yeah. You know, like, what was your thoughts on that? Because at the beginning of the game really sets up like who he is and how they see him. But I didn't really understand like what it was, because I know at the beginning it tells you the story of like how he broke off from the United States, but and then he was like he wanted to be a savior, so he built a city in the sky or something.
Well, so I guess the idea, his idea, Comstock's idea, is that we like. Humanity is still so messed up, even after Jesus.
Right.
That I want to make a pure place.
Okay.
And so going back to the beginning of creation, right, before sin, that's why they call it New Eden.
Okay.
It was a place without sin, because, you know, sin started in the Garden of Eden. Let's get a New Eden so that we're closer
to what pure humanity should look like. And that's why they bathe you at the beginning?
Huh? Yeah, well, and then so the – yeah, the baptism idea was a little bit interesting, but it's like, the idea is that baptism is a representation of a forgiveness of sins.
Okay.
Right? And you're inviting the Holy Spirit in, and it is a cleansing thing, and that's why water is the earthly element that's associated with it.
Right.
And so they, you know, they make everybody be baptized before they can get into Columbia.
Right.
And it's this idea that like, we want you to be clean from whatever else you've done in life and start a new pure life without sin.
Right.
Which is just never going to happen. And you see it. And it's the reality of life that sin, remnants of sin still remain, and only God separates corruption from the human nature. And only God can separate corruption from human nature. So as much as Comstock, maybe even good-heartedly, is trying to make a place without corruption, even that good idea, if you will, is really a bad idea, because all it's going to lead to is more sin and more failure.
Right.
Because only God can do it.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting in the beginning. I was like, it was actually quite scary. It was weird. Like, I didn't even realize, but I was using my headphones because Stacey was kind of asleep, or she was in another room. And I didn't know, I didn't turn my soundbar off. And she was like, I don't know what you're playing, but it's really scary. And I was like, it is kind of weird. Like, it's the way they had the music and the way all these – it's like it feels like you're in this – it really does feel like they like you're in a new world. It's like this is some psychopathic
– it's very cultish.
Yeah, cultish world that you're in.
Yeah, it's absolutely taken to the extreme. You know, this has been harped on, but they made Jefferson and Franklin and Washington, you know, saints, and the people that – you know, they pray to them like many people in the Catholic denomination pray to saints to pray on their behalf to God. And so they do that, and it's just this warped sense of really where things can go wrong by playing on some messy issues in theology. And so it's the extent of what's scary is it sort of happens in our world, not, you know, to this extent, but I think they're really hitting on some great stuff with this, is that if there's one person with bad theology and they go unchecked, there's no one else with good theology there to help try to correct them and teach them.
Yeah.
You've got one person with warped theology, Comstock,
and everybody's following
at where it leads.
Yeah.
Right. And it, especially if the warped theology is something that's appealing, right? It's appealing to humans to think that we can do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it sucks to say I can't do anything.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's really hard.
Yeah.
And
then they follow him, say, you know, right. Everywhere. And that's what I love too. Like, even when you're walking, you know, everybody's just like, Comstock knows. And I'm like, right. This dude's psycho.
Well, and like the best part's when you walk up to that massive statue of him.
Oh yeah.
And there's one lady and she's like, this statue, it just doesn't capture his Father Comstock's, you know, divinity.
Yeah, that was like, so weird.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Look at how these people see this guy.
Yeah.
So it's a very scary place to start the game from. Not necessarily in your traditional sense, maybe not even in the kind of like BioShock 1 sense.
No,
right?
Yeah. Like, no, it's very
like creepiness,
different.
But this is still very scary.
It is. And then when you hear him speak too, he's got like some sort of you've heard him speak, right?
Yeah, voxophones. Not.
Oh, okay. You haven't heard him. I thought he started off like that. Yeah, the first time you hear him speak, it's like a man. I don't even know. It's like demon voice or something. It's like, oh, I'm like, oh my god, what the hell is that? But yeah, I was curious because I was not expecting that.
Right.
I thought this was it was gonna be like some overly patriotic. And then I was surprised I didn't hear about it, but I guess they just did such a good job writing it that no one really got offended.
Well, and so they did some pieces of it, right? Like, we've seen those first 5 minutes when you see all the, like, I'll lead them from the Sodom below.
Right, yeah.
Create the new Eden, and we had seen that kind of stuff before. But, yeah, they downplayed in the coverage a little bit how intense it is at the beginning and how it does set the – at least – to this point has set the tone.
It does. And I think that's what it's there for. And then it's dispersed. And then it's not as heavy. It's just there. Like, it really introduces you. Like, these are crazy radicals. And this is why you're going to see all these statues and weird scripture all over the place.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, dude, I wonder what Drew's going to think about this. Cause I just thought, and I mean, I even looked it up, and I guess it's just, everybody likes the writing so much that it's just not a big deal for anybody. And it is just a game.
Right. And yeah. And I mean, they really, I think it's really interesting because it's a scary place where I think even some people in this country might hint towards that, right? There are people that are,
you got
that
Morton
are that patriotic,
whatever that crazy dude was who created,
you know, there
created
are,
a cult.
Right. Well, and there are churches that have, you know, American flags next to the cross and that kind of stuff. Right. And it's that, like, I don't know, it's just, it's really interesting, and I think it's a really interesting play on some pieces of current society, and it is very scary, and it's kind of like the scary end of what could be happening in some
parts.
Right,
if there wasn't people to stand against or to, you know, argue.
Or offer opposite and correct views.
Yeah.
There's no one... That's what I mean. Like, if you go unchecked like that, if anybody goes unchecked like that, that's how
it turns out.
That's how a lot of bad theology was started in this country. That's how a lot of bad theology continues in this country, is one person is really persuasive and has no one else around them to be like, hey, wait a minute.
Right. Yeah. You're crazy. Well, yeah.
Maybe
so
you can't build a new Eden.
Yeah. Don't think that's going to happen. But so, as you can see, this game is obviously a great game, and I think it's the highest reviewed game of the year. I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah,
like, up to
this point, I believe the IGN's mixed average had it at like 97, Metacritic's right around there too, I think. So
it is definitely a great game. I am halfway through, and it doesn't get harder. So again, there were bosses and stuff that I played, or mini bosses, whatever, and it wasn't hard. I'm still kind of upset at how easy it is. I literally just run around and shock people and vigor. And actually, the crow one, whenever you get the crow one, it's great. I love throwing crows at people.
Yeah, and I've heard there's some decent combo things, like if you do Murder of Crows and then like the Devil's Kiss fire one, and they can all light on fire and cool stuff.
There's
like
all sorts of really, really cool stuff that you can combine with. And then whenever you you get the girl involved, it gets interesting. She, you know, and I don't, because you haven't played too far, so I don't want to give anything away, but she is awesome. For however they did that, it's really cool, but at the same time, it can get really annoying. Like every second, she's like, "I have money for you," and then you can hit like X to take it.
Right.
And in battles, it works too. She's like, "I have health," and then you can, mm-hmm. which that's another aspect of it that you haven't gotten to that makes it even easier.
Yeah.
It's like when you're almost dead, she's like, "I have health for you," and then you can hit like X, and then she throws it at you. Or I have some sauce. It, literally anything. If it's on the battlefield and you can't get it because you're fighting, she'll go get it and throw it to you.
Nice.
So and it's then, like,
yeah, and I know she also like opens those tears and that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff
she opens and tears and opens locked doors, and so she does a lot. But it's just another thing where I thought maybe they'd scale enemies or something, but they don't, and it makes it even easier. Sometimes I don't even take anything from her. I'm like, nah, just leave me alone. Let me try to die. And which is another thing too that I thought was interesting. I guess to keep it in the world, but it when you die, which I have died once. Because I didn't accept help from her, and this dude was like pummeling me. I was trying to melee him. I died, but you don't die. Like, it's this weird mode where, like, she's like, "Oh, don't die," and she's like taking a needle and jams it in you, and then you like wake up a few yards away and you lose a little bit of money. That's about it.
Interesting. Yeah, I know. I mean, kind of, I guess, to defend that, I know on hard mode, what people have been saying is resources are really scarce.
Yeah.
Like, there are many less health drops and ammo drops in the world. And also, it, you know, it takes more bullets to take people down, that kind of stuff. You lose a little bit more health with every hit you take. And so what I've heard is, like, on higher difficulties, you usually have to spend a lot of money to like buy health packs and that kind of stuff. You know, every time I've passed the vending machine, I've had full health.
Yeah, actually, I haven't spent any money on health. I've been saving it, and I just keep buying like upgrades to my vigors.
Yeah, but so from what I understand, money and that kind of stuff does become an issue because you have to spend it in higher difficulty levels,
right,
to get that kind of stuff, which may be true. And I'm you know, potentially excited to play through it again. I know they have some good DLC planned for it and that kind of stuff. So we'll see.
I think you can see it. I mean, you can see it further in the game. Like, I mean, even like I said, it is easy, but you can see like your setups, like, oh, this would be a moment to really use like a strategy, like, oh, open this tear here, and then let me use this vigor here, and then I'll switch here. Like, you can plan out like almost exactly like how the world's like built, so there's really a strategy to the combat, if you know, if it's difficult enough for that.
Right, yeah, like if the difficulty scales up enough to make you do it.
So that is BioShock. We love it. I know we spent the last like 26 minutes talking about it, but it really is a great game.
Hopefully
I'll beat it this week. So beyond BioShock, we do have some news. I meant to say last week that I saw Sony, you know, released more games that are coming to PlayStation 4, which, by the way, I like how they released like an article and they were like, "We project that people really want the PlayStation." Yeah, yes, we do. We want a new console like right now. But anyways, so I saw that they're bringing Blacklight Retribution, which, for those of you who don't know, is a free-to-play game on PC. Mm-hmm. It's a first-person shooter. It's really cool. I played it when I had a PC. It's really, really cool. And Primal Carnage Genesis, which is going to be like an episodic story about with dinosaurs.
Yeah, something dinosaurs and guns.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Probably pretty cool. I know some other small ones came out at like GDC Impacts and that kind of stuff, but it's a little more on the indie side, and a lot of it is like, hey, we're finally going to be able to bring this PC hit, like Hotline Miami or something like that, to PlayStation 4 because of the build. It's going to be really easy for us.
Yeah. And I know you saw – I saw some stuff on GDC, but I saw that you know a lot about how they showed off more on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah. And so people saw saw more of the controller. People were able to see it in person. There's some good screen, some good like real photos, not Sony stock photos out now.
Right.
They're saying it looks pretty solid, that kind of stuff. We heard about this a little bit, but just a refresher on the controller. It's now like a big light bar that mm-hmm. works with the camera, but also that changes color based on what player you are.
Right.
And so player one is blue, player two is red, player three is green, and player four is pink. It's the four colors of the face buttons on PlayStation's controller, right? X is blue, circle's red, right. Triangle's green, square is pink.
So sorry for the guy who's got to be square.
Right, yep. Player four, yeah. Enjoy your pink. But so that always happens. But it also can flash to show like when you're shooting.
I thought that was interesting.
Gun. Yeah, which I don't know how I feel about that one, but whatever. And then it also can display health. So it can kind of dim or brighten.
That's what they meant. I didn't get that. I was like, what do you mean it can display health? But now that makes sense.
Yeah, or I think maybe like the light can fade across the bar and like it could be like half lit up or something like that.
That'd be pretty cool.
Right. So I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work yet. I don't know that anybody's seen it work yet, but there's some good potential there. Not that you're ever really looking down at your controller when you're playing a game.
That's also true.
That's besides the point, I suppose.
It's not that I'm ever looking at my controller.
Right. Yeah. I know, right? Like maybe the first time I'm playing like Street Fighter or something, right? Like I'm trying to figure out the buttons, but
Hopefully the flash thing isn't weird then, because imagine playing and you got like this light underneath you and you're like, oh my god, that's really annoying.
I assume you'll be able to turn it off too. Yeah. And I guess
we're playing an all dark room and it keeps like lighting up. It's lighting up blue too. It's like makes no sense. It's like it's not the color of flash of my gun. Yeah. Sony, you idiots.
They also just wanted to reiterate the fact that like the sharing options on the console, all the like video that it takes and the streaming online and that kind of stuff is built into the console and will work with any game. The developers don't have to put any code in.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, so that's nice to know. It's nobody has to do anything special. So hopefully we'll see it a little bit more and that kind of stuff. But the other thing is remote play is going to be more built into games and to the console itself. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be you can have your game going on your Vita screen as well as on your TV.
Right.
And then you can also have you don't have to reboot the game. Like it right now, for the few games that it works on, you have to quit the game on your PS3 and then you have to start the game in remote play setting, it's just weird and it breaks your experience and it takes 20 minutes and then it's super laggy. And so hopefully those issues are worked out.
Yeah. Hopefully that works out. I really like the idea of remote play. I really do. And you know, it would be a reason for me to get a PSP.
Yeah. Or a Vita.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hopefully it works and hopefully it works well. Cause, that would be good. But that's most of the new kind of PS4 bits that we're getting. We've seen a lot of, I'll put this here just cause maybe, I don't know, but Beyond Two Souls.
There has been a lot. That's true. I didn't even think about that. They've been showing a lot of that. It looks really pretty.
Yeah. I was like, talk about a game that looks next gen. Like we're talking about
BioShock, PlayStation.
But really, Beyond Two Souls, man, they're pushing the PS3, and they said they took their next gen engine, which you saw like that old dude's face and that kind of mm-hmm. stuff, whatever, the creepy stuff, but they took that engine and scaled it down instead of just trying to like take their Heavy Rain engine, but they took their PS4 engine and scaled it down, and it looks pretty, and I'm hearing the quality of acting.
It's phenomenal, I'm sure. Yeah.
And with the level of motion capture that they do, and you know, with Ellen Page and that kind of stuff, they're saying you don't like there are real silences and meaningful silences in the game. Like somebody
loved Heavy Rain.
And you can feel the pause. Whereas like now if in the middle of a dialogue somebody pauses and you're looking at their face, it just breaks the experience, right?
I but mean, I loved Heavy Rain, though. So. I mean, I honestly can't wait. I thought Heavy Rain was a great game.
Yeah.
And I don't even care for games. Like, you know, I had a hard time with Telltale's Walking Dead, which is what everyone loves. And, you know, I just don't like hitting X and stuff. But something about those games really is awesome. Like, it's just awesome. It's just a great mix of an advanced – I'd call it an advanced QuickTime event with actual playing. It's just
– Well, and I – from what I understand, there's significantly more gameplay in this one too.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, you know, and we'll keep on PlayStation, even though we have this in other gaming news. But they also have been showing a lot. They showed what everybody already knew, and we talked about previously, that Phantom Pain was indeed Metal Gear.
Yes, yeah, we can throw the Metal Gear stuff in here, but yeah, so the Phantom Pain is Metal Gear Solid 5 proper.
But it's a separate game, I think, is what they said.
From Ground Zero.
From Ground Zero, right, yeah. It's like a continuation or something of Ground Zero or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe a prequel. Because you know what, dude? I think it's a prequel.
I think they said Ground Zeroes is the prequel.
Well, you know, I know they said that. If that's what it is, then I get it. But you know how Ground Zero, the main bad guy's got that burnt up face?
Yeah.
And in Phantom Pain, the guy who releases
you. Helping you.
Yeah, he's got all bandages on his face. So I don't know. I thought that was the correlation or something there, but
yeah, I don't know. But I tell you what, they're reeling me back in, and in typical Kojima fashion, man, none of it makes any sense.
No, not at all. They still don't explain why there's a giant whale eating a helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, you know, like who's making the hallucinations that are going on, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, but it looks good.
It does. It looks really pretty, man. And you know, I think you're right. Ground Zero has to be a prequel because he's not missing an arm. So
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I saw the full trailer. I thought it looked amazing. I'm obviously interested in it. It's so weird to watch something like that and to be interested while at the same time being so utterly confused.
Confused and just not knowing like what the game is.
Yeah,
but.
But it's like, man, that looks good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in next-gen news, too, I thought the 17 minutes of Battlefield 4 looked great.
Yes, yes. And they haven't talked about whether it's coming to next-gen consoles.
It better, because I want to see it in that light. I know I'm not pre-ordering that on my Xbox, because it's not going to look good.
Yeah, but so I believe it is confirmed 360 and PS3.
It is, yep.
And PC.
And PC, which is what they've been showing it on, is PC.
Right, and why it looks so much better than anything else. But yeah, Battlefield 4, man, that campaign.
It looks like it could be reeling me in right there. And they talked about how they need it. They want to change. You know, obviously everybody says this, so I'm not going to hold any fruit to it. But they want to change the landscape of first person shooters. Like they're tired of the same military campaign, blah 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 blah. And hopefully they do it. I mean, everybody's like, okay, cool. Even though the 17 minutes you just showed me looks like, you know, your typical shooter,
right?
But hopefully they really do something, because Battlefield 3's campaign was awful. I had to force myself to beat that thing.
Well, and so Battlefield, you know, started as a multiplayer only game.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Bad Company and some of those, then they brought in a single player campaign. But yeah, it's still, I mean, the multiplayer is why people play Battlefield. But
yes. The
campaign that they had in this one, I mean, is at least Black Ops 2 level.
Yeah.
It looks that way. Or maybe even pushing it a little further.
Yeah, maybe it can get more emotional. And then hopefully they do something with multiplayer too. I mean, if they really want to be the premier, and there's all this talk about how there's a lot riding on this game, then, and you know, and what I really like that the guy who – the president, you know, or whatever, the chief engineer, whatever the hell – I don't know who he was. But he was basically a high-ranking person on the game, came out and said that it's no longer about the graphics. Everybody knows Frostbite 3 looks amazing.
Yep.
So – and hopefully that's true. Hopefully they bring something new. So, you know, we've just been talking about PlayStation, you know, for another 15 minutes. We talk about it every week. You know, and again,
Xbox?
Where is the Xbox? There's even after GDC, it's all PlayStation talk again. Microsoft, I mean, either they're the dumbest people now, they went from the smartest marketing company to the stupidest, or they honestly are scared because they can't offer anything.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, you know, maybe you wait for the buzz to die down a little bit and then come in, right? So, like, maybe you give it a couple weeks, but letting it go past GDC where they, you know, Sony can give this – they had a conference. Part of that conference was developing for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And they have all – you know, it's a game developers conference, right? Like, and they have them all there, and it's like, hey – develop for our console.
Yeah, no, and then all those developers too were talking about just how amazing it was.
Right,
and I'm like, you're really gonna let the hundreds of developers that Brandy Pitchford and Navine, like these people who we like, tell us the PlayStation 4 is amazing, and you're not even gonna say anything? Like, you're an idiot. Like, I don't even care about you right now.
Yeah,
I'm so excited for the PlayStation. I can't even see straight.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I swear, almost every day, I'm like, man, for Microsoft to get me to buy the next box.
They better have the most amazing conference I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to pull out some stops.
Or have like five exclusives that are like just must play. I mean, I don't even know.
Which isn't even going to happen because Infamous Second Son.
Yeah, it looks great.
Those two guys' resumes came out and said that it's coming out this year.
Yeah,
which it's basically a launch title.
Which is
if it doesn't come out at launch, you know, it's coming out the next month or whatever.
Imagine if Metal Gear Solid 5 too was a launch title.
Right. Exactly.
Oh my god. Or Killzone. Even Killzone could be a launch title.
Right. I bet Killzone probably is. And still, that game's gonna be great. I mean, like Resistance: Fall of Man was not, you know, the best game, but it came out and it was the best shooter on PlayStation at that time, PlayStation 3, and it had a very large following for a very long time.
Yep. I don't know. I just had to say that. You know, the rumor we have is that there will be a conference in April, but they haven't even announced it, which I figured they would at least do by now, like at GDC.
They haven't even said, hey, everybody, get excited. Like, big announcement coming. Like, you don't have to say we're announcing, but just big announcement.
Yeah, big announcement coming. Microsoft.
Yeah, they're dropping the ball right now.
Honestly think they're worried because even newer rumors, as we talked about, and paperwork that has come out is saying it has to have an internet connection. You have to install it, which is not that big of a deal, but that you might not even be able to play used games. And if those three things are true, I'm sure they are freaking out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's three big issues, and so. We'll see, and we're hearing these things from. We heard from a couple developers on the down low, but they said things like they're not just focusing on games, which might play in their favor. You know what I mean? Like,
it might.
And when it comes out, and they say, "Hey, all this other cool stuff too," then that might be the stuff that wins me over. It might be. I doubt it, but it might be.
Well, in our gaming news world, we hit up a lot of stuff, but we do have a little bit. I saw there's a new Borderlands 2 player
that's coming in May. It's a psycho,
which looks amazing. I thought the gameplay was really great with the axe.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that looks awesome. It made me want to go play my Borderlands that broke and I have to start over. So that was awesome.
Yeah, man. I hope that didn't happen to anybody else.
I know. That was so lame.
That's terrible. I haven't checked my game yet and I really hope it didn't happen to me. You know, I have cloud saves.
Yeah, I should have saved it somewhere else. Anyways. And I, you know, this isn't a game. It could be a game. But I thought another good thing that came out of GDC was this Infiltrator demo.
Yeah, that's the first thing I've actually been impressed with that's running on Unreal 4.
Yeah, that looked great.
Is running on Unreal 4.
I thought that was pretty. And, you know, there's really nothing to talk really about it, but if anybody hasn't seen it, just go check it out. Go check out the Infiltrator demo. It is
a 15-minute demo or something.
Yeah, it's like a 15-minute. It's almost like a little short movie, and it's great. It's running on the Unreal 4, and it looks – I mean, it really is phenomenal looking, and I hope that's what next gen looks like.
Yeah,
And then the last game of news that I found actually just this morning, and I saw some of it yesterday, is this Outlast game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it.
Which, for those of you who aren't looking at my computer, we usually write up, you know, a little breakdown of what we want to talk about, and all I said was Outlast Wowzers. So for those of you who don't know what it is, it was a game that a lot of people played at GDC that literally scared the bejeebers out of them. You know, they were more.
Yeah, They said they're going back to the roots of survival horror, and they just want to scare you.
Yet supposedly a guy got so scared he almost tore down the booth.
And that would be me if I tried to play that game. I absolutely would have like broken a TV or something, and like not on purpose, but just out of reaction to your game.
And watching it, it looks really scary. It looks insane. You can't. There's no weapon.
You don't fight. You just run. You just run. Survive.
And you have a camera that's battery's like dying, so it's like quarantine where you're looking at things through night vision, and you're praying to God that something doesn't just pop up in front of you. Like, it looks really, and you're trying to survive in this insane asylum. It looks insane.
Yeah, it's. I mean, from the few things that we've read and that people have been brave enough to like say and stuff, or that like they're going with every angle of scary, right? Like, it's not just the sound. Like, Dead Space did such a good job with the sound and with the like being around the next corner. The original Dead Space is what. So they're doing that, right? But they also have, you know, like things might just flash across the screen in front of you, right? Yeah. Like you see a shadow and you're just so scared and you don't have anything to fight back.
You just got to run. And then
every other survival horror game lately, you can fight back, right? Yeah, like at least I can do something.
Not in this. Not in Outlast. And it's going to be on PC only. And if you get a chance to check out the trailer, you just have to because, you know, as Drew was saying – they're pulling out all stops. And I think it really shows when this crazy demon cut up thing, I don't even know, like comes after you and he turns the camera off and he's like running, 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 running. He blows through this door and this is the character playing it and he gets underneath the bed. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Oh my God. Yeah. He gets so underneath the bed and all you hear in the game is you're breathing and you're like, all right. And it's just your breathing. And then you don't hear anything else, so you're like, okay, I'm safe, I guess. And I know that's what the gamer's thinking. So he turns his camera on, and then you look, and he's underneath the bed, he's looking, and he's like, all right, cool. I guess I need to leave this bed. And he turns right, and as he turns right, bam! It's like right there. I almost crapped my pants. I was like, holy! If I was playing that game, I think I would go and turn my Xbox off. Like, I'd probably die of a heart attack.
I would have like thrown my dang controller, man. I like, I tried to play I played the Dead Space 2 demo, and even that, man, I just realized how tight I was gripping the controller.
Yeah,
I was like, man, this thing is gonna just crush in my hands. It's not built to have someone hold it this tight.
So I thought that I had to put that in here because I was just like, wow. I mean, they're really going to make a true survival horror where you just have to survive.
Right. And I mean, that hasn't been done. Definitely not in this generation. I don't even think in like the previous generation, the Xbox PS2 generation.
The only game that I know, I think that was like it, but I think you can fight back. I can't remember, but there was one like Dark Amnesia.
Amnesia. Yeah. Yeah.
So... Man, so that's really all I got right now. You know, I don't have any movie news for you guys. I you know, it's not really movie news, so to speak. But I will say I did go see G.I. Joe yesterday, and it was fun. But in front of it was a really awesome Wolverine trailer.
Nice, yeah, that's what I'm hearing. The Wolverine stuff's coming out.
Yeah, you can check it out online. It looks great. And in terms of actual movie news,
got one.
Oh, you got one. Okay.
Yeah, Disney's Planes.
Ooh, what about it?
Instead of Cars. It's just I saw the first trailer. It's coming out this summer.
Who make Cars?
Yep.
Oh,
it's
okay. Just
it's like Cars, but planes.
All right. I got to check that out. Is there a trailer online?
Yeah, there's a short little teaser minute trailer, something right. Minute, 2 minutes. But yeah, the first trailer's out for that and says it's coming this summer. So.
Well, there you go. There's some news. And I think I read – I mean, this really isn't that big of a deal, I guess. But I think I read that Iron Man 3 – is actually going to have two different versions, like that we're going to like it'll be American version and then like over in China or something they're like adding some extra character for them. I don't know why you would care. Because none of you are in China. But if you are,
yeah,
you're getting a different version of Iron Man 3.
Interesting. Only other thing I had is there's a new trailer out for Pain and Gain, which I don't know if we've mentioned that movie at all.
Oh my God, I want to see that movie so bad.
But yeah, that movie looks hilarious. It's Mark Wahlberg and The Rock in a Michael Bay film.
Yeah.
About sticking it to the man.
Yeah, pretty much. It looks hilarious. And then, yeah, for everybody else, you know, just you know, just game. You know, you guys, you should just game and and don't let Kim Jong-wong freak you out.
Yeah. That's what I know, man. He had that, they're putting out that map and it has Austin.
They had Austin on it. You know, they want to blow up Austin for some reason.
They want to get rid of they're too late for getting rid of all the indie musicians. South by Southwest was a couple of weeks ago.
It was actually really funny. This is not game related and really this is probably a conversation I just had with you, but you people on the podcast get to hear a part of it. Austin released the Chronicle, released like why he wants to blow it up. And he's like, wasn't invited to South by Southwest. it was like all these great things.
Nice.
Mad that hippies have been wearing his haircut. Like it was just like, oh my god. That's all we got for you folks. Good
that's
folks.
It. So once again, check us out on check Brian out at Hitman BK on PS3, Xbox, IGN, and I'm Blaze DDI on PS3 and IGN. You can also check out Gamers First at Gamers1ST, Gamers First, on Twitter, and I'm at TexasDI on Twitter. And our website, of course, is gamersfirstpodcast.wordpress.com.
Yep.
That's you spell it all the way out there. But awesome. Thanks for hanging with us. I know we hit a lot on we ended up going pretty deep on the BioShock
front. We did.
But you know, we got a full episode for you.
You know what? When we beat it, we might even give you a full podcast on it.
That's right. We'll bring Drew in. Spoiler casts.
We'll do a spoiler cast. We'll get Drew in here to use his infinite wisdom from seminary school to really flesh out, you know, maybe what they did with it, depending on where they go with it. I don't really know how it's going to end and all that jazz. You know, I think we should do that, actually.
Yep, absolutely. We'll bring the spoiler cast to you in a couple weeks or so.
All right.
Yep, until next time, y'all take care.
Later.